We started in the book of Corinthians without going into the book of Corinthians very much over the last couple of weeks. I want us to turn real quick to Acts chapter 18. And we're going to finish this when Paul wrote this book and cover some more things in Corinthians, I promise, if we get there. So go to Acts chapter 18, and I want you to look at verse 17 through 19. Acts chapter 18, in verse 17, the Word of God says, "Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews." I didn't want to get into detail in this scripture yet. There's just some things I want you to see so we know where Paul's at when he's writing this Corinthian letters. I made mention before, sometimes we read these letters and we think that that's what's going on right now, that Paul's right there. But he's not. He's been there and now he's somewhere else and he's writing this letter to them. Okay? And so this is where it's all taking place. Okay? And so we know by looking at this, if you look at verse 11 in chapter 18, the Word of God says in verse 11, "And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God among them." In verse 18, it says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while." So I don't think we can pinpoint an exactness of how long Paul was in Corinth. But we know he was there for a year and a half for sure, and also a good while. Okay, so we could say that there was some time that Paul spent in Corinth as these assemblies, I believe, started. We can know that. And I said, now if Paul the writer and the messenger could be with them this long, and they departed from his ways, because when you get into the letter in the Corinthians, it's clear they had departed from the things that Paul had taught them. Now, Paul had been there with them a while, and if they could depart from that to the point that he sends them Timothy to remember, and not only that, let's remember, they also had over 10,000 other instructors. It had to be clear then that these instructors were teaching wrong. As a matter of fact, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you look at verse 15. "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me." So he sends Timotheus or Timothy anyway, because evidently they had come away from what he taught them. They had been getting it straight from Paul, we know, for a while, right? It's very clear if you read in Acts chapter. They had been getting it straight from the horse's mouth. Straight from Paul, which we know the Holy Spirit spoke through Paul. We must know that this very thing, if it happened to them, this very thing could happen here. And a lot of churches don't even consider that. A lot of churches today go to church, they don't even consider for a minute that the man that is teaching could actually be teaching wrong. And let me tell you, it's just as bad for you today, for you to just trust in what I teach as being truth without seeking in the Word yourself. For your own selves, and by the way, for me too, to help me too. I never will contend to tell you I'm the smartest person here, because I'm not. That's very clear that you don't have to tell me. You don't, and that's okay. It used to not be okay with that. I used to want to be this, but that's okay. I can now be teachable because of that. I encourage you, as I said earlier, there are people here that can really teach well. And I encourage you to learn the Word, because that's where you'll see the glory of God. That's where you'll become confident in your faith. That's where you'll become confident in knowing the Scriptures yourself, so when you sit anywhere in a congregation, you can know immediately whether the man behind the pulpit is truly sharing truth or not. Because I'm going to tell you, I would venture to say, this is my own number, and I didn't do a tally, I didn't do a poll, but I would venture to say, just on my own thoughts and people that I know, I bet, I would just about bet 98% of most men behind the pulpit do not share the Scripture truthfully. I really believe that. That's not something like, look at me and look what we know. That is sad because it affects the eternal life of the person that's listening to them. And I say that because that's what's going on, and that's what Paul is dealing with here when he's writing this letter. He had gotten reports and he's answering this letter. We need to understand that. You will read Paul himself at the end was even left. People, when they take a stand like this, will be left. Be ready. When you take a stand for truth, people will leave more than likely. So you must be on guard. So we see now that Paul started these assemblies in Acts chapter 18. He was there for a year and a half plus some more time, evidently, as we read that. Then later he would write this letter while he was in Ephesus. So when did Paul write this letter in Ephesus? And I don't want us to see like date-wise. It's not the issue of what date was it, but what he had known at this time when he's writing this letter, I believe is extremely important for us to know. Because there were things that were going on that he was doing. I mean, there was a time that he was healing people, and he was baptizing people, and he was getting word from God that today we do not use as part of our doctrine. Kevin's made mention before that 2 Timothy 2:15. I used it for so long as just dividing the Scriptures of what we believe in. But you have to divide Scriptures. Still, you have to rightly divide when you read Paul's epistles. You can't take 1 Corinthians and apply it the same way today as you can things with Ephesians or even with Thessalonians. I mean, there are things you can't take at the same times. They're all written at different times. Paul's prison ministries, you will find out, his prison letters, you will find out, are much different than the ones before he was in prison. And so you have to rightly divide those things. So it's important for us to know. I'll give you an example. Paul wasn't saved, and then all was gotten in knowing at once, and all these letters are all for our doctrine as far as a way of how we live and act. But as you read and study Paul's letters, it will show you where you're at. So it's important to know when he wrote them. Give you an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to what? Visions and revelations of the Lord. By the way, you know how you'll receive visions and revelations from the Lord? In His Word. You don't get them any other way. But in His Word. So there were things that Paul was still getting as you see this letter. Or this wouldn't have been written. It wasn't like when he was saved in Acts chapter 9 and he just knew it all. And so even when you read Paul's letters, you have to understand the progressive revelation. You have to understand things came to knowing more and more as he wrote these letters. That's where we get our doctrine from Paul's letters. But you have to know when he wrote them. I think it's important also to know where in Acts that you can see these. This is why people today, they grab a hold of gifts that aren't for them today. As God revealed truth to Paul, there were things that were different. Things that are not in operation for today. There are things that Paul did that are not in operation for us today. And if you don't know the Word, people will take you. And when you say that we follow Pauline doctrine, and they ask you, well, Paul baptized, and you can't defend that, then it can really mix things up. Oh, by the way, I've been guilty of that. I really have. This is why studying your Word is so important. Things that we will see in the Corinthian letters. You'll see baptism. You'll see spiritual gifts. And then, I tell you what, go to Acts 18 again. And let's look at verses 18 through 24 and see what Paul was doing when he's writing this letter. I hope it's okay with you guys that I take this slowly. I just think it's extremely important. And my hope in this, guys, is that somehow this will make you hungry to see this truth and to understand you can't just open your Word, close your eyes and say, okay, I'm in Paul's letter, so I must be right, and do that. That's crazy. The Word of God will show you truth as you study it. You have to study it. Or I'm telling you will start being amazed in man every time. You'll count on man to teach you because you'll say, I can't get it. There are ways to know. Acts 18, look at verse 18 through 24. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. Now remember, Paul is still going to the Jews here, and he's trying to reason with them, and we read right before this, it was the issue that they were to believe that Jesus was the Christ. Because those in the synagogue at this time, you know, the issue was, it wasn't the flock that was there. It was those that did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, and they were still going on with the same oracles of faith that they had always had, following the law. And in verse 20 it says, when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. So he's there a while, he leaves Ephesus. Verse 22, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So we see Paul here is on a mission, and he's moving, and he's teaching this gospel, and he's going in the synagogues, and he's telling people that Jesus is the Christ, and he's turning to the Gentiles, and he's sharing this gospel of grace that was given to him. And in verse 24 it says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. So we see here in these scriptures, from Corinthians to Ephesus, then he leaves Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus, and he heads to Jerusalem.